Congregation will begin this evening's worship service singing together from Psalter 260, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. The heavens his righteousness proclaim, through earth his glory shines abroad. From idol worship turn with shame and bow before the living God. We sing 260, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Evening can be found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Matthew 4, beginning at verse 12. But first, we will hear the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Matthew 4, beginning at verse 12. And now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Thus far.
Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Almighty and all-knowing Lord, when in the evening of this thy Sabbath day we may bow before thee, Lord, be it not evil in thy most holy sight, seeing thou art holy and we are unholy. We have unclean lips, and from our very youth O we are conceived and born in sin, and can only live that out in thoughts, in words, and in actions. And yet, Lord, thou art coming unto those that have left thee in order never to return, calling seriously and well-meaningly to repentance. Lord, wilt thou then convert us from the youngest to the oldest, and we shall be converted. Wilt thou convert us that we may learn to repent? Turn us unto thee, then we shall be turned. Draw us and we will run after thee. Call us powerfully, irresistibly. Follow me, that we may leave the world, forsake the world, and turn unto thee with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Lord, we ask that thou in this evening then wilt work mightily among us, to work in the heart of our children that tender fear of thy name, in the heart of our youth, that they may ask for thee, in the heart of fathers and mothers and adults, a repenting from a life without God and Christ, but to humbly bow before thee. O God, be merciful to me, the sinner, in the life of older ones, a sigh for thee, but also in the life of thy people, that time and again, that command be bound on the heart, for thy people can never say, I am converted enough. They can only repent that there is only a beginning, but thou wilt fulfill and finish perfectly what thou hast undertaken. And therefore, Lord, remember also thy people according to thy good pleasure and mercy. Wilt thou strengthen, instruct, and cover more and more, to in that way point unto him who never needed repentance, for he never sinned nor committed any iniquity, but who died for the sins of his people. Lord, may we command this flock unto thee. Thou knowest all the needs and the cares and the wants. When we beseech of thee, be with the sick and the weak and the infirm, and with those and the doctor's care, those that struggle physically, those that struggle emotionally or mentally, those and feel more and more the strain of thoughts slip away. And that must say I become so forgetful. Lord, wilt thou not forget them? Thou art able to work mightily, and we beseech thee, leave us not and forsake us not. Remember the labors in the congregation. May it be heard on the house visitation that the God of Jacob yet liveth, and that he still works. Lord, remember the labors in thy kingdom, the labors among the Jews that are so attacked from all sides, and once again be despised more and more. But Lord, wilt thou undertake for them, but also uncover them, that also among the Jews, according to thy word and promise, there may be a people that may acknowledge the Christ of the Scriptures. Remember the mission field and the mission work and the mission board who hopes to meet this week. Lord, grant traveling mercies and give all that is needed, that it also in the mission field be heard that thou art the same and that thy work is the same. Lord, remember our government. Grant what they need. Could it be, give them a turning back, a repenting unto thee, to govern according to thy word, and to ask for the Lord and his strength. Remember those that may govern in townships, in the province, and also federally. O Lord, leave us not, though we made ourselves worthy of it, and forsake us not, though we deserve it 1,000 times, but give a turning back. Lord, remember then all the labors in our school community, those that may labor there. Grant them dependency on thee in order to instruct the children and the young people. That fathers and mothers be found on their knees also for our school community. We are but man, but thou art standing above all things and art able to also use the Christian education, that hearts may be turned. Lord, remember our care home community with the residents also from among us. Have mercy, Lord, and grant what cannot be missed. Help us in this evening, in listening to thy word, may there be Aaron's and hers to sigh, to listen, might there yet a word be a word for me, that I have come hungering and thirsting to be dealt honestly with. Lord, remember thy servant. May he receive the words in his mouth and the thoughts in his mind. But may he also receive a little taste in his heart. All things are known to thee. Grant us then a token
from above, and thy help from the sanctuary. Lord, we deserve nothing. And to say it is one thing, and to experience it is another thing. And yet thou hast said in thy word that thou wantest to be asked for it. We call upon thy name, not because of any worthiness in us, but only in the name and for the sake of Christ alone. Amen.
While your collection be received, and the Lord bless thee and thy gifts, we will sing together Psalter 142, all the stanzas. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea, plenteous. In compassion thou blot out my transgressions, and now, and what follows in Psalter 142.
Thank you.
With the help of the Lord and awaiting His blessing, we want to draw your attention, beloved, to God's Word, our text, as you can find that in our scripture reading. Gospel according to St. Matthew, and thereof chapter 4, and thereof verse 17. And there we read God's Word and our text as follows. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then we write under this text the beginning of Jesus preaching. The beginning of Jesus preaching. And then we consider in the first place the time of that preaching. Because we read from that time Jesus began to preach. In the second place, the contents of his preaching. For we read, and to say, repent. And in the third place, the urge of the preaching. For we read, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The beginning of Jesus preaching. The time, the contents, and the urge of his preaching. Our text, beloved, has been taken from the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. And children, you probably know who he was. He was Levi the publican, called and converted by the Lord, but also called by the Lord to become a disciple. And now this Levi, this Matthew, is given by the work of God's Spirit. We call that inspiration, because the Spirit gave it in his heart to write the gospel, especially for his own people, the Jews. Where other evangelists especially wrote the gospel for the Gentiles, Matthew did it especially for the Jews. And we may still have it also for us in our days. He has explained how the Lord Jesus was not only circumcised but also baptized. How he was baptized by John in the river Jordan and then was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And then we read it in the portion that we have opened in this evening. From that time Jesus began to preach. So our text is about the beginning of Jesus preaching. We read twice about the beginning. We read about the beginning of his miracles. You find that in John 2, the wedding in Cana, where the Lord changed water into wine. And then we read this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, where he manifested his glory and his disciples believed on him. But here in our text, it is not about the beginning of his miracles. No, here it is about the beginning of his preaching. From that time, Jesus began to preach. And the word beginning has actually two meanings that are both important to understand our text.
So in the first place, the word beginning or begin, that means as much as something starts. There is an origin, a point when it all began. Now, when did Jesus now begin to preach? When John was cast, verse 12. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast in prison. Now, John the Baptist, children, you know that he was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus, the one to prepare his way. He was the one who first preached. Not to point at himself as if he was something special, but to point away from himself to Christ who would come after him and of whom he was not worthy to untie the latchet of his shoes. John, he was the preacher of the law. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The axe is already at the root of the tree. All tree that bringeth forth not a good fruit would be hewn out and cast into the fire. He is the one that is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Lord. And when the Pharisees came, and the scribes and the Sadducees, those that boasted that they were children of Abraham, he said unto them, ye generation of vipers, who has called thee to escape the wrath of God? John, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. But when now John's work was done, then Jesus started to preach. When John was cast in prison, John prepared the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus in his preaching. And now he was in prison, and the Lord would prepare him a place in heaven. Soon John would be beheaded. When it had become true what he had confessed, he must increase, I must decrease. Where now John became nothing. And that's why he pointed away from himself and to Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Oh, it is in the life of a preacher, of an office bearer, never about himself. They are but one, passing by. They come and they go. They proclaim the word. And oh, may now the Lord graciously add the fruit to it, to his honor and glory. So the word begin or beginning first points to a start. Now, children and congregation, everything on earth has a beginning. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. A beginning. Now, that is in spiritual life too, that has a beginning. People can sometimes talk so much and talk so high and say so much and confess so much. But what do we now always need to listen for? For the beginning. And sometimes you need to ask, now I have heard so much, but my friend, can you now explain where it started, where it began in your life? But, and that is the second meaning of the word beginning, the B word beginning in the Bible also points to the core, to a principle, to a foundation. So everything, also in the preaching, has a core, has a principle, has a foundation. And then we draw the line again. That's also in spiritual life. We live in a time of so much confusion, of so much reasoning, of so much arguing, of so much disagreement. And it seems that those that profess to have grace cannot even go together over the world anymore. Why? Well, the one, when they speak, it says, he says, well, in my life it started with Christ. And someone else says, in my life it starts with gratitude. And another says, in my life it starts with this. And someone else may say, in my life it started with misery. But then we are rebuked in this one simple, single word, the beginning, the core, that which comes back, it means time. And again, from that time forth, Jesus began to preach and began. Does that not only point to a starting point when he started to preach, but it also points to the core of his preaching, to that which comes back time and again, which is always heard in his preaching. And that also pertains to the work of grace. Our fathers, they said it already. Grace does understand grace. May I now put people together that may know about grace, that after one may be led further than the other. But in one thing, they understand one another. In the core of the true work of conversion, where the Lord found them, and how the Lord started in their life, and how the Lord opened their eyes and showed them their misery. And the one, he may be drawn out of the world and its lust. And someone else may be drawn out of his piety in the church which he boasted on. And when you put them together, in one thing they are equal. In the beginning, in the core, in the foundation, in that which comes back time and again, where the Lord has found me and how the Lord worked in the life of his children. That is always the same. Each time. Now when we read, Jesus began to preach, repent, then that message of the preaching came back not once in a while. Not so now and then. But that came back time and again. It was the core of the preaching. And I said it already, we live in a time of confusion, and sometimes faithful servants of the Lord get criticized. And people say it's always the same. It is always about Adam. It is always that we have fallen away from God. It is always that we are unworthy the least of his blessings. It is always the necessity of true conversion. It is always the work of a triune God. It is always that good pleasure of the Father. It is always that work of Christ. It is always how God converts his people. It is always how the Lord works in the heart of his children, how he calls them, how he leads them, and how he leads them further in the mysteries of salvation. Why do people say that? Because they want something new. They want a minister or an elder to be original so that they are entertained in the church services. But children, that's not why you come to church, is it? To hear something new. It says in the word beginning, it is that core that comes back time and again. It happened one day that a man came to a minister and he said, yeah, it's always the same. You know what that minister answered that man? He said, thank you for the compliment. He said, what do you mean? Well, I'm not speaking French, do I? Thank you for the compliment. Because that's biblical. That it always comes down to the necessity.
the possibility, the wonder, and the way of that true conversion. You want proof from God's word? Well, when the Lord Jesus is preaching, repent, or in other words, turn or return, you read that time and again in the Bible. The prophets have said it, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel, and not live? In Jeremiah 3 we read, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I am not keeping mine anger forever. And we read it in the prophecy of Ezekiel, when the wicked turn and keep my commandment, they will surely live and not die. And Joel, he says, it, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and rend your heart and not your garment. Even John the Baptist, you read that one chapter prior in Matthew 3 verse 2, when he started to preach, he did not bring a different message. He brought the same message, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus did exactly the same. From that time, Jesus began to preach. Not something new. Ministers must not think that they need to be original. But that same necessity of true conversion, of heart renewing grace, of repentance, that same core, that same content, what through the ages has been heard and that still may be heard till the day of today, from that time that you have the time of his preaching, where now the fullness of the time has come, and God had sent forth his son. The first 30 years of his life he did not preach, but after John the Baptist was cast in prison, after the forerunner has done his work, Christ came, a lesson. First the law, then the gospel, an other core doctrine, an element in the heart and in the work, in the heart of God's people. May you have the time. So it's not a strange matter when you heard that time and over again. But I hope that you do not only hear it with outward ears, but I hope you have come up this evening to God's house with a desire in your heart. Lord, may I now not only hear it with an outward ear, but may I be given to hear it with my heart. Let the ears be pricked, my heart be broken, and that thou wilt plow my heart, that it be receptive, because I am dead in sins and trespasses. I am so deaf, but that thou wilt open my ear and heart, that I may receive that message, and that it may bring forth a saving fruit. And what is then that message? Well, secondly, we see that the contents of that preaching, it's actually one word. When John the Baptist says it, repent ye, that same word we read here, repent, or repent ye. What does that word mean? Well, the word repent points at a returning, at a turning back. And that brings us to paradise. You hear, children, what I just said? The core of the preaching, it always comes from that eternal good pleasure that always starts also in paradise.
We need to return. Why? Because we have turned away from the Lord. Or in paradise, there was that communion with the Lord. And when there the Lord came unto Adam and Eve, they did not need to hide themselves, because there was that love in their heart and there was that fear of the Lord. There was no need of repentance, because there was no sin and no turning away. But what happened? We have left the Lord in order never to return. We have eaten from the forbidden fruit, and our life is now one cry: depart from me, I have no desire in the knowledge of thy ways. Our life is like that of the prodigal son. A man who said unto his father, give me the part that thou owest me. And he took it and went into a far country, and there he spent all his goods with bad people. It's our life. Runaways. What a wonder then that that message from the olden days, that message that has been brought from the beginning until the day of today, may still be heard. That beginning, that core, that central message: repent, repent ye, turn ye from your evil ways. Why will ye die? That message of the necessity of a turning within, as that prodigal son who came to himself, as a turning away from that old life without God and without Christ, and a returning unto the Lord. So the word repent points at a turn and at a return necessary, because we live in such a deplorable and miserable state as runaways outside paradise, without a God in our life and without a Savior for our soul, running on the broad way, and the one does it worldly and someone else does it piously, without God and Christ on the broad way that leadeth to destruction. You see, beloved, by our deep fall we have not only departed a little ways from the Lord, but we are so far away from the Lord, there is a bridge between God and our soul that never can be bridged from our sight. And by our deep fall, we not only lie sick in sins and trespasses, and we are not only a little bit dead and a little bit good, no, we are totally depraved. We are totally dead in sins and trespasses. And if now the Lord would do with us according to what we deserve, who can then stand? Do you agree with it? Maybe you agree outwardly with it. They say, the Lord can cast me away. But you know, beloved, there is a people that when they start learning that inside, you find them flat on the floor. Because when it has been experienced what that means, it goes in the way that the Lord humbles under his mighty hand. You see what a wonder it is that the Lord still comes unto us, calling us seriously and well-meaningly, but also urgently: repent, turn ye, return, turn unto me. So we must notice in our text that we do not read the word conversion here. Actually, the word conversion, you read it in the Bible only one time. In Acts 15, where the apostles that came back in Jerusalem declared and explained the conversion of the Gentiles unto God. One time. But if you read all the times that the Bible urges us to turn or to return or to repent than you find for each day in the year. This series called Turn, Return, Repent. And that's a little deeper than only a well wish. May we be converted. That's not what we read here. And not only a message that we need to be converted, or that it needs to be, that we need to repent one day. No, the urge is laid at our heart this evening. Repent. Repent. Yea. Turn ye, a command, a demand. Sure we know that is a one-sided work of God. Because repentance is fruit of conversion. When the Lord converts a sinner, then that sinner may and will repent. That work starts in the stillness of eternity, in that good pleasure of the Father, who from eternity was a step ahead of sin and Satan. And he was chosen himself a people, giving them unto his beloved son. That starts in the stillness of eternity, where now Christ has offered himself, I come to do thy will. And in the time when he has now given himself, dying for the sin of his people, he who never needed to return and who never needed to repent, because he has never done any sin and no guile was found in his mouth, and yet was made to be a sinner in order to convert his people unto God. And that by the work of the Spirit, all salvation starts in eternity and leads his people up unto eternity. And yet, that is not the emphasis of the text. The emphasis on the text is repent, repent ye. And then I hope you will not say that is actually an Armenian message, because then you actually accuse John the Baptist of an Armenian preaching when he lays the responsibility at the heart of his hearers, and even deeper than we would accuse even the Lord Jesus of an Armenian preaching, when he lays the responsibility at the heart of man. Repent. Yea. But what is then meant when we read repent? Well, I said it already. That is the fruit of that converting work of the Spirit. That fruit of that one-sided work of the Lord. And what does the word repent then mean? Well, that points to a total change, a change of thinking, of speaking, of acting, a change of doing, a change of heart, and a change of life. So not only a partial change, but a total change. There might be a people in the days we live in that only lay the emphasis on the renewing of the heart. Now that is necessary. The core that it starts. But when I then speak about the fruits of it in the life, they get a bit itchy and a little bit uneasy, because maybe they feel spoken at. And others, they only lay the emphasis on the change of our life, and they think like the Pharisees that we can work ourselves up that way unto salvation. And when you then speak unto them, repent ye, they have the same reaction as the Pharisees and the scribes. Do we then need to repent? Are we then not the seed of Abraham? We have Abraham as a father. And they also get uneasy and itchy because of that. But the word repentance points to a total change of heart and a life. Maybe some of us will then say, but do I then need to repent? What do I then need to repent from? Because I am baptized and I am a member of the NRC, of a denomination where they still want to hold on to that beginning, to that core of the message of the necessity and the wonder and the way of true conversion. And I'm not living myself out in sin. I'm not participating in things others participate in. And I am faithful. And I won't leave my place in church empty. And maybe I go to the Lord's Supper. What do I then need to repent from? Maybe the one needs to repent from his sin. And someone else needs to repent from his outward religion he is boasting on. The one needs to repent. We all need to repent from a life without God and without Christ. Whether that is in the world in sin, or whether that is in the church in sin, or in the church in our religion that is only outwardly, while the heart keeps itself far from what is actually, once again, to repent. Well, the original word in Greek means as much as grieve. Repent ye, grieve ye. So that points to that fruit of the Lord's work in the heart of his people. What is now the first fruit in the heart of God's people when he calls and converts his people? In that turning within, that turning away and that returning, in that repentance, what is the fruit? A grief, a godly sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be repented of. A grief because of my sin committed against a holy and a good-doing God. A grief because of the sins in my thoughts, in my words, in my actions. A grief because the Lord demands of me what I cannot do. No. The Lord demands of me what I cannot do anymore. There lies the depth. There lies the experience of the word repent. When he now pricks the ears and opens the blind eyes, that we may see and hear who he is, that we stand in account with, and who I myself am. What I miss and cannot miss anymore, be it well for eternity, and what I possess and need to miss, be it well for time and eternity. Repent ye. And that word means time and again. The original word points to a repeated thing. Not one time, not once in a while, not an emotion, not an impression, only an impression by a text or a verse, and then we are converted. No, repent. It literally says, repent ye time and again. That's an ongoing thing. When the Lord starts, he continues. And that is a matter of their entire life. When Kolbrugge was on his deathbed, and they asked him, are you converted? You know what his answer was? The Lord is still busy with that. Now there lies the depth of this word, repent ye, time and again, and then more and more. Repent ye. Maybe some would say, yeah, but I can't do that. May I ask you something? why you say that? Is that maybe to hide yourself behind your piety and to blame the Lord to say, no, yeah, I cannot repent, so yeah, and in the end it is Adam's fault and I cannot help it? My friend, why does then the Lord say, repent ye, to open your eyes for your impossibility? And to let you run stuck with your impossibility and to show you the deepest cause of it. Not only that I am unable, but that I am unwilling. And then that message is bound on the heart, repent ye, turn back, then there comes a grief, then that call condemns me. The Lord is demanding from me what I cannot do any more. That the blame does not lie by the Lord, but by myself. You repeat it. You say, yeah, but I cannot repent. May I ask you another question? Not only why you say that, but also how do you know that? Is that only a pious talk, what you've heard? Or has there ever come a time in your life that the Lord bound it on your heart and that you have really tried it? God's people learn that. And how the Lord teaches them that they are unconverted. Or they try to do everything that is in the power to bridge that breach between them and the Lord. Then they want to build a ladder up unto heaven. Then they try to do their utmost. They say, Lord, have a little patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then they bring this along, and they bring that along, a tear, and a work, and the fruit, and what has happened in their life. And the more they try, the less they succeed. The greater sinner they become. You know why? Because the Lord brings in his converting work, he brings his people in the workhouse. Have a little patience. The broken covenant of works, when they try to glue that together to bring something along. But you know what now? The Lord's work is in the core of that converting work, in that depth that comes back time and again. And there comes a time that they must say, oh, I've been so long in the workhouse, but the Lord brought me in the poor house, where I have left nothing but the needy and the poor soul, needy and sorrowful, to thee I cry. And there it be learned, I cannot do it anymore, and I don't want it either. The Lord wants the way the Lord wants it, because then I must lose everything, and then I must lose my life, and then I must become hell worthy, then I must become doom worthy, then it becomes a grievous experience. Then the word repent ye, grieve ye, that becomes practical. Then it becomes experiential. Well, they've tried it. Have you ever tried it? Can you then say that you won the battle? As we then not say this evening, I've lost it time and again. I've ever lost it prior to me starting with it. You know what then is left? And the Lord comes for his image. And the Lord will ask and require, pay me what thou owest. Then there is a people that with Jacob and the Jabbok in Peniel, there's nothing left. And is left alone before God's countenance. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And there is a people that must say, how can I ever be reconciled to thee? Have you ever tried it? Well, now that people run stuck experientially, then they may learn, repent ye, I can't, I won't. And then it becomes true. It is God who worketh to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Nobody can come unto me except the Father draws them. Then it becomes a wonder. Then it becomes such an eternal wonder. Then the word repent, grieve, be experienced. Time and again, even after receive grace, because I cannot be as I ought to be. And I am not as the Lord is worthy that I be before him. O God, be merciful to me. O God, have mercy on me. And they may learn that it comes only from above, according to thy good pleasure. And why then does the Bible tell us time and again, repent ye, if we cannot do that anymore? Because in the first place, the Lord is worthy. He comes. He wants those children of Adam back who have left him. And he has no desire in the death of the wicked. But therein that the wicked may turn from their evil ways and live. Now why does the Lord bind it then on the heart? Repent, grieve, turn back. Why? Because to point us at what is necessary in our life, what needs to happen, and what we are not worthy. So those two reasons, he is worthy of it, we not. He is worthy of it, and he is willing to teach. But he binds the responsibility on the heart of a sinner. May I ask a question? Congregation, have you ever heard a true converted child of the Lord say, "It is too bad that the Lord did not convert me sooner"? I've never heard that. You know what they must only grieve about? That they have not turned from their evil ways sooner. And yes, they also learn that it is a one-sided work of God. Remember that, congregation? But here it is about this aspect. That they say, "Lord, I have let thee call so long in my life. I have turned all those callings away. I've stopped my ears so many years. What an eternal wonder that thou still hast drawn me with cords of loving kindness. What a wonder that after I have run away so many years, a Manasseh in prison, Paul before Damascus, one in the mission field, one may be here in church that must say, 'The Lord has called me so often already, but I have never wanting to listen.' What a wonder that the Lord has done it. Then the grief of repentance becomes the deeper, because then it is not only I could not, but then the root cause, I would not, becomes the biggest grief. See this message, one word, with such a depth. And that sinner receiving the love in his heart may see, oh, he is worthy to be sought. And that prodigal son there in that far country did not start to reason, "Does the father want me back?" He doesn't start to reason, "What if he will send the farm dog to me to bite me?" Then that prodigal son, oh, he did not start to talk a reason. No, that son went, "Come what comes from it. If the father would send him back, if the father would cast him away, it is deserved." That is repentance. That is repentance. If now the Lord wants to cast such a turning sinner away, then they must say, Lord, I've deserved it. Repent. You understand it, beloved? And there comes a sigh. Make haste to deliver me. Oh Lord, I can't. I won't. And yet I must. I ought. And thou art worthy. Draw me. And I will run after thee. Convert me. That I as fruit may repent. What an urge. You will listen a moment, but we sing first.
220. Stanza 2 and 6. O haste, Lord, to hear us, and pity our woes, and when thou shalt revive us, thy name we will praise. 2 and 6 of 220. The contents and the urge of this preaching, the urge for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why is it that the Lord lays this at the heart of a sinner? Because it is not indifferent to the Lord whether a sinner may turn unto him or not. No, he does that. Because we read in this gospel that when he saw the multitude, he was filled with compassion over them, because he saw them as sheep that have no shepherd. And he says it because he has no desire in the knowledge of, he has no desire in the death of the wicked, but in their repentance and life.
That is the urge. God's honor. Because there is gladness in heaven before God's countenance. There is gladness among the angels over one sinner who may turn away from their wicked way without God and Christ unto the living God. There is gladness in heaven over one sinner in whose heart this word may sink in, repent, grieve, and who received a broken heart. There is gladness in heaven over a crying sinner at the throne of God's grace. There is joy in heaven over a mourning soul who may learn that he has brought himself outside of God's communion. There is gladness in heaven over one sinner that may now turn within, that learns to know himself before God's holy majesty. That cannot live anymore in his religion or in the world, but may turn away as a needy, as a grieving, as a broken one before God's countenance, repenting, O Lord, I have brought myself outside thy communion. How can I ever be restored in thy communion? Thou art demanding righteously, but I cannot because I ran stuck. But my deepest root cause is I would not. I am such an enemy of whom thou art. I am such an enemy of the ways of the Lord, because I want to be saved, not with losing myself, but with keeping and maintaining myself. I want to be saved not with nothing, but with something bringing along, that I do my best, and God once does the rest. And then the Lord says, repent ye. Because that is not the way unto salvation. Repent ye. That is a people who experience that they are dead in sins and trespasses, and they cannot come further than be merciful to me, the sinner. And they learn with the Manasseh there in prison to repent. Then Manasseh acknowledged that the Lord, he is God. And then they learn with the Paul before Damascus to repent, that pious Paul, that deal with all that had it all, but the Lord took it all away at once. Why persecutest thou me? And there he lays before God's majesty, repenting. That man that was something in his own eyes became nothing before God's countenance. Repent. You see, the urge is bound on the heart because he is moved with compassion. He is the one to call. He is the one also to work. Repent. Ach, Lord. I am not able and willing, wilt thou teach me by thy Spirit guided, that I may experience this in my life. Because he has come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now the work of the Lord, through the impossibility of our side, then it becomes an eternal wonder. Repent ye. He works to will and to do after his good pleasure. Repent ye. And then that sinner may work with fear and trembling. That they lie as a wretched sinner before the Lord. O Lord, is there ever such a wicked one as I am? But I call upon thy name. Turn me, and I shall be turned. And why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
kingdom of heaven. That is the coming of Christ. May I summarize it? There's not so much time left anymore, I see. As the kingdom, the Bible, you can look that up in your concordance. The Bible speaks about the kingdom of God, and the Bible speaks about the kingdom of Christ, and the Bible speaks about the kingdom of grace. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And here it summarizes the kingdom of heaven. It comes from heaven. Repent ye. The responsibility laid here on earth at our heart to learn it comes from heaven. Kingdom of heaven, of which he is the king, who has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He who has come to convert sinners, that sinners may repent. For the kingdom of heaven, Christ, he says it in this urge, it is at hand. It means it is not far away anymore. So in fact, you don't have much time anymore. Our life is short, and eternity is never ending. It is at hand. The Apostle Paul says the same. The Lord is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means he comes. He comes to judge the nations. He comes back. He is already busy coming. You hear his footsteps in the world. In everything that happens and transpires, you hear it and you notice it, or are you yet blind for it? And are we yet deaf for it? It is at hand. Young people, the Lord lays it at your heart, not later. But today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow can be too late. It is at hand. And who can stand then before the Lord? Who can then live before him? It is at hand. Is that a terror before you or a comfort? That it is at hand. If you must say, if he will come back today, it is too late for me. And the message is delayed at the heart, repent ye. Personal. It's not about someone else. And it is not about this one or that one. Repent ye, as it literally says. Grieve ye, a personal case in their life. And my unconverted friend, that is possible, you know why. Well, we began with that 12th verse. We will also end with it. When John was cast in prison, Jesus departed into Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he came into Capernaum in the border of Naphtali and Zebulun. Of which Isaiah had said, he preached this message in a part among the people that were walking in darkness. And that we're living in the land of the shadow of death. And when now he is preaching that there, would he not apply it himself to by his spirit? Would he then not work mightily? All the people that walk in darkness, we also, we fallen unto the prince of darkness, walking in darkness, in the land of the shadow of death. Death is so close by. Can each day become eternity? Also a lesson, and when God's people repent, our fathers always said, then they walk with death in the shoes, they must die and they cannot die. They repent and how must they go? It is possible, for to such ones the Lord still comes in darkness. Send thy light and truth to be my guide. And maybe a people finally that must say, oh, that's my picture. Isaiah said it too. Is there a people that walk in dark, that are in darkness and that have no light? The people that try to make it light in their life, but the darkness became thicker and thicker. The people that have tried because the Lord is worthy and it was bound on their heart, that have tried to repent and they came to the end
and with it. And now they sit there in the land of the shadow of death, ready to perish, and they can only sigh. Turn me, Lord. Have mercy on me. Convert me. That is a people in whose heart this message, this core, bear fruit. To their conversion, to their salvation. Oh, should we then not all cry in our bands this evening? Lord, I am so hard. I can live so easily under the truth. I can live so easily under the acknowledgement of what is necessary. And I turn 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, and I remain the same. And I must say that to my shame. Lord, wilt thou convert me that I may repent? And when he then works, children, you're not too young. And people, you're not too busy. I hope. You may be busy every day with God's word. And that is one word, the sermon of the Lord Jesus, with one word, may now truly be an arrow in your heart and bound upon it. Repent. And once the day comes, because it's an ongoing lesson, and the more the Lord converts his people, the more they repent, the holier they become. The better it goes. Now, the more unconverted they turn in their own sight. And the more they again need to ask, turn me, convert me. And the more they may repent and grieve again. And there comes a day that no repentance is necessary anymore. Because all grief, all tears, all sorrow is wiped away. And he will be all in all. And he turns the grief and sorrow into joy and gladness in that great morning. And then they may sing for a his tender mercies. Amen.
Almighty Lord, bind it on our heart. That sermon that thou hast spoken. With one word, repent. Acknowledge thee for thy help. Be the after preacher to apply it to young and old. Go with us. Week we've entered, look upon us in mercy. Help in all the labors. Keep us from a sudden death and hear us for Christ's sake alone. Amen.
Psalter 13. And thereof the sixth and the seventh stanza. The Lord with the wicked is wroth any day. And if they repent not, is ready to slay. 6 and 7 of Psalter 13.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.